Hi, this is Mark Miner, and you're listening to Minard.com podcast. Today, we're going to take a closer look at three more of the Civil War veterans who were members of the Ross Rush Post in Ursina, Pennsylvania, part of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was a Civil War veterans organization. In my earlier two podcasts, we talked about six of those soldiers. Today, we're going to focus on the final three: Foster Youngkin, his brother Balaam Youngkin, and Charles Rose. Now, I recently spoke about these soldiers at the Jersey Baptist Church in Ursina, Somerset County, Pennsylvania. And I did so at the request of the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War and Auxiliary of the Mount Union Church Camp. Soldier number one in today's series was Foster Youngkin. He was the son of Jacob J. Youngkin and Dorcas Hartzell. Before the war, he was stout, hardy, able-bodied. And during the war, he and his brother Balaam joined the army 8 months apart. Foster was a member of the 1st Battalion, Pennsylvania Infantry, and was assigned to guard duty in Harrisburg. While there, he became seriously ill with, surprise, surprise, chronic diarrhea. When he was honorably discharged and came home in January 1864, his brother Balaam noted that he, quote, continued to complain. The suffering did not end even though he was no longer in the army. A friend, Harrison H. Rush, wrote that he and Foster were, quote, were together much of the time when we were in service. I heard him complain of not being well while yet in the service, unquote. Well, Foster never got well. He remained ill for about 9 months after his return home, including a bout with the measles. And he died on September 30th, 1864, with the war still raging far away. I consider him to be a wartime casualty, even though, in fact, he was a civilian. Recalled his brother Balaam, quote, I was at his bedside when he died, unquote. Now, Foster's death shook his parents very deeply. In claiming they had depended on him for financial support through his labor, the father applied to the federal government to receive a government pension as compensation for the loss. And while we don't know that the pension was awarded in terms of dollars, we do know that 15 years after Foster's death, a standard issue military grave marker was erected at the Jersey Baptist Church Cemetery, where it may be seen today. Soldier number two for today was Balaam Youngkin. And Balaam believed in marrying his cousins, and we'll look at that in some detail today. His first wife was a cousin, Amanda King, daughter of Thomas King and Barbara Youngkin. Now, cousin marriages were very common at the time. I myself am a product of two consecutive marriages between a Minard husband and a Youngkin wife of Kingwood in Somerset County. You know, people of the 1800s had no knowledge of modern genetics, which became a recognized science only in the 1900s, nor were there laws to prohibit intrafamily unions. In fact, cousin marriages were considered to have value as a way to ensure that like-minded couples with similar values and heritage stayed together. It may surprise you to learn how many celebrities married their cousins. Among them were President Franklin Roosevelt, who married his cousin Eleanor. Another was Albert Einstein, author Charles Darwin, poet Edgar Allan Poe, author H.G. Wells, the grandparents of President John F. Kennedy, and Pittsburgh department store owner Edgar Kaufman, who eloped to marry his cousin Lillian. Later, they commissioned Frank Lloyd Wright to design their famous home over a waterfall called Falling Water. President Thomas Jefferson urged both of his daughters to wed their cousins, and they did. But back to the story. Balaam and Amanda produced 7 children: Barbara Ellen Cunningham, Sarah Lavinia Youngkin, Arvilla Youngkin, Harvey G. Youngkin, Ida Mae Youngkin, Molly Lenhart, and Gertrude Bainon Fisher. During the war, Balaam was drafted and joined the 171st Pennsylvania Infantry. He's not believed to have seen any action and was honorably discharged a little more than 9 months later. After the war, Balaam and Amanda resided in Upper Turkey Foot Township and then relocated to near Harnedsville. They remained there for more than 3 decades and owned parcels of ground in the Jersey settlement. In fact, in 1883, Amanda obtained a mortgage from the trustees of the Jersey Baptist Church, apparently for the purchase of a 30-acre farm tract. Well, sadly, Amanda died in 1890, and Balaam then remarried to another cousin, Barbara Ellen Dull, daughter of Frederick Dull and Peggy Faley, and granddaughter of Christina Yunkin Dull. Now, Balaam and Barbara eloped to Cumberland, Maryland to get married, but all in all, it was a disaster, and they later divorced. When Balaam's daughter, Molly, gave birth to a child out of wedlock, Balaam made arrangements to raise the boy. And with Yunkin genes from both sides of his grandparents' sets, that boy grew up to become president of the Yunkin National Homecoming Reunion in the 1930s. His name was Otto Roosevelt Yunkin, and he lived in Masontown, Pennsylvania, before relocating to Ohio. So you see, despite circumstances that aren't always perfect, God always seems to have a plan. Well, the ninth and final soldier that we'll cover today is one of my favorites, Charles Rose, the son of Sylvester Rose and Sophia Smith of New Jersey. They ended up in Somerset County, and at the age of 28, some 15 years before the war, Charles ran away to marry 17-year-old farm girl, Kate Minard, of Hexibarger near Kingwood. Well, Charles was 11 years older than his teenage wife, and her strong-willed father, John Minard, opposed the union. You may recall that I portrayed Father John Minard a few years ago in a first-person interpretation at the Yunkin reunion. And a friend recalled that, quote, the two eloped and agreed to be man and wife, but her father afterward forgave them and called them home and insisted on them being legally married, which they did, unquote. Charles and Kate lived in a tenant dwelling on the Minard farm at Kingwood, and they were the parents of Sarah Ann Firestone, John Wesley Rose, Susanna Durst, Levi Rose, Jenny Burgess, Louisa Thomas, William Rose, and Jackson Grant Rose. By the time Charles joined the Army at age 43, he and Kate already had produced 5 children. Now, Charles actually was hired by Alexander Walter of Ursina to be his substitute. And so the two men went together to Harrisburg, where Charles underwent a physical exam and was mustered into a regiment. He was said to have been paid a big lot of money for that. Now, in the classic biography called Abraham Lincoln by Carl Sandburg, Sandburg writes that, quote, anyone having $300 cash and willing to pay it as a bounty to a substitute was exempt and could stay home and laugh at the war, unquote. Charles was assigned as the drummer of the 171st Pennsylvania Militia. Now, Carl Sandburg also writes that around that time, quote, homesickness, gloom, and a general feeling of uselessness, unquote, brought about a rash of desertions. And so just 3 weeks after Charles Rose's enlistment, after all that bounty stuff, decided to desert while in Harrisburg. And in his own words, he wrote, quote, there was 9 or 10 of us ran the guard and got over the river in a boat and ran to the mountains. We stayed in the mountains a long time. When I went home, I tried to get a pass to go back, but I could not get it. I did not show myself around much, unquote. Now, not sure whether we take that at face value, but his brother-in-law, Henry A. Minor, who remained with the very same regiment, said that later, quote, the provost was after them all hot, and they hid in the mountains for a long time, unquote. And Balaam Yunkin, who we just visited with, and also stayed with the same regiment, recalled that, quote, I heard from my home by letter that he was home, unquote. Well, fortunately for Charles, at that time, President Lincoln and the Army were desperate for able-bodied soldiers. One estimate is that in 1863 alone, more than 85,000 Union officers and men abandoned the ranks. And to counteract this hemorrhaging of men, the president issued a pardon. Well, when Charles heard the news, he decided it was time to go back, and so he left Somerset County and in April 1863 arrived at New Bern, North Carolina, where he was assigned to picket duty with his regiment. But within a few days, he became ill, suffering from hemorrhoids as well as a large hernia. And according to one eyewitness, he complained the second day after he returned, and that was the reason Captain Schultz thought he was playing off. Unquote. Charles then contracted typhoid fever, which he blamed on wet and exposure while on picket duty, and the men were out in the field regardless of whatever weather came their way. Charles was sent to a hospital and then was ordered to rejoin his regiment during an uphill march from North Carolina to White House Landing, Virginia. Fellow soldier Isaiah Gross said that Charles, quote, took a hard spell of vomiting and got a bad swelling in and about the groin, and the doctor pronounced it a rupture, unquote. Charles showed the swollen area to friends and claimed it was a result of having fallen while trying to lift a heavy knapsack. Take that as you will. In 1863, he was sent to Emory Hospital in Washington, D.C., and he said that, quote, I was unconscious and remained so for a long time, and I do not know what was done with me. When I came to myself, I was in a hospital at Georgetown. I never went back to the regiment and stayed at this hospital until I was discharged, unquote. And so he was sent home. And when he arrived at Somerset, probably at the railroad station, a friend, Jacob McMillan, saw him there and said, quote, he was as near to being a traveling corpse as he could be. There was nothing of him, and he could hardly walk. The man was at that time not in his right mind, unquote. So McMillan gave Charles a ride toward home, but en route they stopped at the house of Alexander Walter, who, as we recall, had paid Charles to be his substitute, and recalled Walter, quote, he was the most used-up man that I saw. He was not able to get up one flight of steps that was at my door. He did not know anyone that talked to him. He stayed at my house till the next day when they came with a wagon for him. Well, after Charles Rose's arrival, friends came to see him, only to find him sick in his bed at home. His friend Romsburg said, quote, I thought he would die. I remained at his house that night, and I saw his rupture. It was on his right side where the leg joins the body. It was bulged out as big as my fist. And recalled his brother-in-law, Henry A. Minor, quote, he looked like a skeleton. He did nothing for that whole year, unquote. Well, after the war, Charles lived in Hexibarger near Kingwood for about a decade, with the exception of a two-year period when he resided in Illinois near his dying sister. After coming back to Pennsylvania, the Roses moved to a hilly farm at Ursina in 1875, and the property was so isolated that Charles said, I, quote, have not many neighbors living close to me, and I do not get to town but seldom, unquote. In 1891, when he was examined by military physicians in Somerset, Charles only weighed 145 pounds. And of him, the Marysdale Republican once said, quote, he nevertheless was always able to get around, and his mental faculties were keen and alert until the very last. He had a retentive memory, and it was always a pleasure to sit and chat with him, as he was always cheerful, and not only could converse on all topics intelligently, but in telling the history of the Turkey Foot region, he was a veritable encyclopedia of information and could tell a good story and enjoy hearing one with the zest of a young man, unquote. And Charles died in 1909, just 12 days shy of his 90th birthday. and was laid to rest at the Jersey Baptist Church near Ursina. In closing, I think about the men who were veterans of the Civil War and all that horror, but their interest in getting back together as veterans as the years went past. And really, isn't that why they wanted to get together as Charles Rose did? To enjoy telling a good story and hearing one with the zest of a young man. Well, that concludes my Minard.com podcast series on the 9 soldiers who were members of the Ross Rush Post of the Grand Army of the Republic in Ursina, Somerset County. If you've enjoyed these stories, you can learn much, much, much more about them and their families by visiting my website, www.minard.com.